Welcome to the HIV Australia podcast, a discussion about the community-led response to HIV in Australia. In this episode, we're fortunate to be joined by Jonathan West, Principal Planner, Engagement Strategies Unit at ACON, who's here to discuss the 2FUN11 health promotion campaign. For Health Equity Matters, you're listening to HIV Australia. I am Justin Salerno. In this episode, we hear from Jonathan West about ACON's new exciting playful health promotion campaign, 2FUN11. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Justin. No problem. Happy to be here.
As we get started today, I'd just like to acknowledge the lands in which we're coming from today, so which is the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging. So Jonathan, thank you for joining us. We're so happy to have you here to talk about this sexy and playful campaign. To start, can you tell us a bit about your role at ACON and how you were involved in the 2FUN11 on-demand PrEP campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. So I manage the HIV campaigns team at ACON, and we look after Ending HIV, which is our New South Wales-based initiative, as well as Emanate, which is our national one. And we are focused primarily on gay and bisexual men and other men who have sex with men, and cover all things HIV and sexual health. So 2FUN11 was one of the Ending HIV campaigns that we developed and ran earlier this year. And I was responsible for the strategy as well as the direction of the campaign and overseeing the implementation of it with my team.
And for listeners who might be hearing about this for the first time, what is the campaign about?
So the campaign is all about on-demand PrEP. And it was, yeah, I guess specifically developed to try and help alleviate some of the concerns that we've seen through research with people who maybe aren't sure or have hesitancy or lack confidence in taking on-demand PrEP, as well as raising some awareness for on-demand PrEP as an alternative option to daily PrEP.
Yeah, so the campaign's basically a way of targeting the community that haven't quite caught on to PrEP at the minute.
Yeah, exactly. We're really looking at people who either had never taken PrEP before or who had maybe some concerns and there was something holding them back from starting PrEP, or maybe they'd stopped PrEP previously and just never got back to starting it again. So this was a way to position it as something that they could sort of easily get back on, and maybe it's a better solution for them because it on-demand PrEP hasn't really been spoken about in a big way in Australia, at least. So this was sort of to try and draw a bit more attention to that as a different option for people who might be a bit more suitable for an on-demand approach.
Yeah, okay. And can you walk us through what the campaign actually involved from concept through to rollout? I would especially love to hear about the development of the images in the campaign. They're so fun and playful.
Yeah, so I guess we start our development process quite far in advance. For this one, we were looking to target it, to launch it, so it was around the same time as Mardi Gras. It was specifically looking at the Sydney population, and Mardi Gras is a great time to have our campaigns in market because it's obviously a really busy time in Sydney and a really high concentration of gay and bisexual men in Sydney, a heightened sexually active time as well for a lot of people. And so it felt like the right time for this one. In terms of the development of it, we started the process and we spoke to a lot of researchers. We did a lot of consultation with our partners at the Kirby Institute and a few other research partners. And on-demand PrEP really came up quite a few times throughout the year as something that was a really, I guess, it presented itself as an opportunity for us to do some more messaging about it, and also some of the more recent evidence that came out of the PREPARE study really pointed at on-demand PrEP as an area that people did lack awareness of and confidence in using. So it felt like a really good one for us to try and sort of move the needle on increasing PrEP uptake in New South Wales. In terms of the actual concept, I guess that came around. Obviously, 2-fun-1-1 is a play on the 2-1-1, which is the very like it's the standard way of talking about on-demand prep, and that refers to the process of two pills before sex and then 1-1. So 2-fun-1-1 was, I guess, the fun particularly was a clever way to really help make it clear as to when you needed to take the two pills. And then the subsequent one and one afterwards, which sounds pretty straightforward, but there is a lot of confusion in terms of when that timing, and there's a lot of numbers sort of thrown around with 24 hours and the day after that and the day after that. So this was a nice way to really boil it down and really have something nice and simple. And the images came around as, I guess, a way to signal the fun of it all. And we really wanted it to be something that would be a bit of a nod to the community without being like overtly in your face sexual. And we had a range of options that to use in different settings. So there were some that we reserved for more community settings or more like venues like sex on premise venues. And then there were some that were a bit more appropriate for broader community activations and a little bit more subtle. But yeah, I think that the play with food, as you'll notice in the imagery, a lot of it is like there's the cherries and the donut. And those ones were really, we did a lot of focus testing consultation, and they were really seen as highly engaging and really shareable. And that was really important to us as well. It was something that I think gay and bisexual men instantly sort of saw and recognized the innuendo of it all. And really took to that, and it was really, I guess, all of the results that we saw from it were really positive. And it's something that I guess we thought about quite a bit in terms of making sure that the images were not just going to be what we'd done before with campaigns and something a little bit different to really try and cut through some of that messaging and I guess show up in a different way that you're not normally used to seeing sexual health messages. So it did have quite a different feel to some of our past campaigns. The messaging was really simple. It really was just the 2-fun-1-1 and then a small tagline. But I think that alone was quite striking and was really something that was picked up when we did focus testing and something that I think worked really well in the end.
Yeah, I was gonna make a comment on the imagery. Like, I think it's great and it's fun. It's really eye-catching as well. But love the playfulness, and it's a bit cheeky, but in the right way.
Yeah. I mean, I think there were some feathers ruffled at times, but I think that's all part of the cutting through the noise and making sure people are paying attention as well.
That's exactly right. So my next question, Akon is well known for its wonderful community-led model. How did that shape the development of this campaign in practice, and what role did community members or peer networks play in shaping the campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. So for us, we do a lot of consultation in the early stages of development. As I mentioned, some of that comes through our research partners and a lot of the interviews that researchers have done, but then also we have our own consultations. We run focus testing with community, and we did that at various points during the development to make sure that it was really hitting the mark and really feeling like a something that would resonate really well with community. And then the talent that we use as well in all of our campaigns are generally community members as well. So that's a really nice way to bring them in. We also use, I guess, content creators and featured some of those community talents in supporting content around the campaign. So featuring them in videos and working with some of them to try and help promote the campaign, as it does feel, we know from research that there is a lot of evidence that people will have a lot of trust in their peers, and it is a really great vehicle for getting sexual health messages to the community. And that's something we're really leaning into at the moment. And then obviously as well, after the campaign, we run evaluation surveys, and that it gives us a lot of insight from the community as to how it actually went, how they felt it performed in the end, and that really shapes the next campaign and how we sort of iterate this one in the future.
Yes, that kind of leads into my next question. So beyond like metrics like clicks or reach, how do you understand whether a campaign is generally resonating with community?
Yeah, so I guess if for us, there is sometimes a little bit of, I don't want to say guesswork, but we do need to make some educated guesses around what we think will work. We are also community members who are all behind the campaign, so we have that lens. But through the focus testing as well as the evaluation survey, I think that gives us a really good pulse check of, is this actually working? Is it cutting through? Are people getting the right messages? And ultimately, is that health message that we're trying to deliver actually easy to understand and engaging enough for people to remember it and take it away? So yeah, I guess the evaluation survey is really, it kind of involves a few hundred community members taking part in actually answering questions. And we have a bunch of indicators that help us really dive a little deeper into the impact of that campaign. So rather than just looking at our sort of digital metrics, like as you mentioned, like clicks and reach, it's actually more around the sentiment to it and the memorability and the recall, and really trying to get a better read of the effectiveness of it.
Yeah, and so I guess now that you've completed the evaluation, can you talk us through some of the findings and what they mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess for me, the ones that I look to straight away once we get our results back is recall. So that's the amount of people that remember seeing the message. So we basically will show, they'll go through the survey and they'll be shown the different campaign assets and asked as to whether they remember seeing them, where they remember seeing them. And that gives us a really good read of, from a marketing standpoint, as to how, again, memorable it is, and actually making sure that people didn't just walk past it or didn't just scroll past it on their feed. They actually took note. And that's a really powerful one for us. And this one was this Two Fun One campaign was right up there with the highest that we've had in the last since we started ending HIV. So that was really nice to see. And it reached actually 80% recall, which specifically among people who attended the Mardi Gras events, which was our real, I guess our real big goal there was engaging people at Mardi Gras. And 80% is a really good number for us, compared to the sort of benchmarks that we set for ourselves. The other ones that I really like to look at are people taking action from the campaign. So that for us, we asked them after they saw this campaign, like, what did you do? And that involves things like, did they go and have a discussion about it with their peers or their partner? Did they go and talk to the doctor about it? Did they seek further information about it? And that's a really nice real world impact measure for us to be able to actually sort of say, okay, we know that this wasn't just like, it wasn't just a pretty image that people saw and were like, haha, that's great. They actually went and did something off the back of it. And that's the goal, really. And we saw around 2/3 of our audience from the evaluation survey actually take action after seeing the campaign, which was really awesome. And then some of the other metrics that I guess I look at are there's the message effectiveness and engagement. So how engaging people found the ads and how effective they found it and easy to understand. And those metrics were really high for us for this one. So it was a really nice result. And then of course we do still look at those broader metrics like the amount of reach and views and everything we have, and that's something we track regularly. But I think that's obviously a harder one to really be able to decipher real impact, but it does show the scale of it. And we did reach through video views alone, we had over 500,000 people engage with them. So I think that was another bonus here. But then we also do find it's not all, I guess, just the positive sides that we're looking at. We're really diving in. We get a lot of qualitative feedback as well on what people thought didn't work. And that's the stuff that we also really pay attention to, especially when we start to see some trends coming through from multiple people. So there are some things that we can improve on, and I think that's something that we'll definitely examine quite closely if we run this one again.
Yes, it looks like the campaign's been quite successful. So, I mean, do you think due to its success, you will continue this again?
Yeah, I would love to. I think for us that we're trying to sort of look at how we can iterate and rerun some of our campaigns as well. And I think there's a lot of merit in refining and rerunning it and taking some of those learnings. And there's always new people in the community. We like to sort of look at our audience as particularly those who are not just new to Australia, even though that's a really big part of our work now, but also new to community. So people aging into the community, people discovering their sexuality and joining the community. So there's always people that haven't seen this. And I think there's merit in continuing it. And I think on-demand prep is definitely one of those topics that is one to really lean into for the next few years as we approach 2030 and really try and help, I guess, move the needle again on some of that prep uptake amongst people who maybe are having condomless sex but aren't already protected with prep.
Yeah, so I guess to leave us today with some final thoughts, what was the most rewarding part of working on this campaign and what challenged you the most?
I think one of the, there's always small things that I really take away. So obviously I am really proud of this one, but I think it's the little insights you hear or the little conversations that people will come and tell you, and having conversations with community members or even through people at work who there was one person who was in a cinema and our ad was playing, and they said that they heard at least three people talking about that straight away after the ad aired. And I think it's those little real life moments that I find really amazing to hear. Because I guess you kind of get stuck in this big world of looking at, we're looking at all our metrics and we're kind of picking it apart to death. But it's really nice to hear when it is cutting through and you are hearing directly from people that it is actually making a positive impact. And I think this one, more than at least the ones in recent memory, has really been one that people, as soon as I've sort of mentioned ending HIV or I've mentioned where I work, people straight away are like, "Oh, the 2-for-1 campaign." And I think that's been, I guess, a really nice sign of its success in how simple and memorable it was. Challenge-wise, I guess I think that comes down to just making sure that we are cutting through enough and how we can, again, not just sort of engage people, but making sure people are taking it away properly. I think there is still some work to do in, I guess, the general, in still sort of helping distill that information and making sure people are understanding the on-demand dosing. And I think we, as a team, I think we're really keen to look at ways that we can build sophistication around some of the elements of how we activate the campaign, like how we show up outside of our sort of standard channels, and maybe utilizing more community members and really getting the community to pick that message up and run with it as well.
Well, thank you, Jonathan, for joining us today and for sharing your insights into the great piece of work by Akon. Today, we have heard how Akon's 2-for-1 campaign brought a fresh, playful approach to promoting on-demand PrEP, highlighting its strong community-led foundations, the creativity behind its design, and the meaningful impact it's had in reaching and resonating with communities. Congratulations to you and the team for such an impactful and memorable campaign. You and the team can be really proud of this work. Thank you again, Jonathan.
Thank you, Justin.
And finally, thank you to our listeners. We hope you enjoyed this episode of HIV Australia.